Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And it is holiday time. It's Christmas time. I mean, kind of doesn't matter even what you celebrate or don't celebrate, because Christmas is thrust upon everyone, at least here in the U.S.
Yeah, it is a juggernaut, which is kind of why we want to sit here and look at a couple of classic Christmas stories this season and plumb the depths of Christmas and see if there's a bit more to it. So we thought we'd start with Old Scrooge. We're talking about the 1843 Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol.
Yes, A Christmas Carol, which, if you're like me, you've encountered this story more than just about any other story. It's, you end up reliving it every Christmas as you grow up. Different film adaptations. Maybe you have to go to a play version of it. Like for my part, I don't think I've ever actually read it. Like, I have no desire to read it because I've suffered through enough of it on the screen. I mean, and that's not to say I don't appreciate some of the adaptations. I love the musical Scrooge, and could easily belt out some tunes from it right now. But
wow,
yeah, that's my go-to Scrooge, by the way, okay. Albert Finney. But yeah, it's just you can't avoid it. It's just nailed into your head.
It is, and so probably for a lot of you guys out there listening to this, this is all going to sound familiar. But we're going to go through it anyway. We're talking about a miserly old geezer named Ebenezer Scrooge, and he is visited by myriad ghosts on the eve of Christmas, including his dear friend, who's now a ghost, Jacob Marley, and then the ghost of past, present, and future. And these visitations cause Scrooge to rethink his relationship and behavior to those around him, particularly his employee Bob Cratchit and his family, including his infirm son, Tiny Tim.
Yes, God blesses everyone is the catchphrase that resonates with everyone. It's like you said, it's a story of spirits, of time travel. You could say that this is an early time travel story. I mean, you wouldn't be wrong, because each of these traumatic spirits takes Scrooge, and the first one says, "Hey, let me take you into the past. This is how screwed up your past is." And then the ghost of Christmas present says, "Hey, let me take you out into the present. This is how screwed up your life is right now." And then the ghost of Christmas future says, "We'll just wait till what I have to show you. This is how bad it's going to get." And of course, the Ghost of Christmas Future is also generally wrapped up in a personification of death as well, because that's the icing on the cake. This is how bad the future is going to get. Oh, and you're going to die, and nobody's going to care.
You know what? This is such a bleak story when you get down to it.
Yes, but you know what? I think all Christmas stories should be bleak, mm-hmm. because even when you strip away all the consumerism and the nonsense and the fake happiness, like any winter, like deep winter festival is ultimately about, hey, everything's getting colder. Mm-hmm. We can't
Things
grow food
dying.
Anymore. Things are dying. Is the sun going to come back? Is the spring going to come back? Are we going to survive? And it's about finding some reason to survive in the pit of despair. Like even the Christmas story with the birth of Jesus and all. I mean, you could say that that all boils down to the idea of you have this dark world that's really doomed, and then there's this one light that kind of emerges to ultimately redeem everything. But it comes out of a dark night.
You're right. And we talked about this in the episode The Dark, in which there is this sort of inward move into the dark, into ourselves, and exploring this terrain. So it really is kind of perfect Christmas fare in a way. I wanted to mention that Dickens wrote the novella in record time, just 6 weeks, financing and arranging for the publishing because nobody else would publish it. Mm-hmm. And the reason why he could tear through it so quickly is because Christmas Carol is actually a territory that he had covered before. There's a story based on Gabriel Grubb, a character in the story of the goblins who stole a sexton, which appeared in Dickens' first published novel, The Pickwick Papers. And in the story, a gravedigger determined not to make merry at Christmas is kidnapped by goblins and convinced to change his ways.
That sounds amazing. I want to see that this Christmas.
I thought that would
appeal
to you.
Goblins and gravediggers, yes.
But ultimately, what we're talking about here is a tale of greed and generosity, personal gain versus humanitarian gain. So we're going to try to cover a little ground today using Scrooge as our basis. We're going to look at something called post-traumatic embitterment disorder, the unconscious, psychotherapy, and epiphanies.
Yes. And a little drugs at the end, just a little drugs.
Perhaps part of the epiphany.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's start with post-traumatic embitterment disorder, because this may be a thing with a capital T.
Indeed. You know, you already mentioned some of the misery of Scrooge, but it is important to point out that he was orphaned as a child. His mm-hmm. mom died giving birth to him, and his distraught father abandoned him.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, you already have like an ample scar loaded into the psyche of the young Scrooge. And then he ends up falling in love with this woman and then abandons her in the name of financial gain, because he doesn't have enough money. He doesn't have that portion of his life squared away enough to continue on with the particulars of this romance. So he just lets it go.
That's right. So when we meet Scrooge on the stage, his pain has intensified. This bitterness has intensified, and it intensifies particularly each Christmas Eve, because at this point, it's been 7 years since Jacob Marley, his only friend, mm-hmm. has passed. And this really ushers in these ideas of bitterness and death. And you could say that that Scrooge is really grappling with this at this point when we see him, this end game of just embitterment that he's put himself into.
Yeah. You know, as you watch any adaptation of this or read it, it's easy to just take in these different examples of his awfulness and take those as just, you know, fleshing out his character. This is what Scrooge is like. He yells at people who owe him money. Mm-hmm. He chases children away. He refuses very nastily to give any money to charity.
Mm-hmm.
All these different things. You know, impolite and rude, or downright rude to relatives and employees and all this. But you could also see this as like, this is the apex of his misery and bitterness towards others. You could say that like, that he has just, this is the nastiest Scrooge has ever been.
And he has really isolated himself mm-hmm. as a result. So what if you became so stressed out about your losses that you could barely function, and you became obsessed with those perceived losses, which is a lot of what he's doing, right? He's going over old terrain and trying to figure out what happened to him and feeling very bitter about that. Now, according to Dr. Michael Linden, a German psychiatrist, this is a concept named post-traumatic embitterment disorder, or PTED. And in his 2003 paper, Dr. Linden noted that PTED is similar to post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, except that those with PTSD suffer intense fear and anxiety after experiencing a life-threatening event. But those with PTED who are bitter, he says that they were hardworking and mentally healthy people until a triggering event destroyed their core values and shattered their basic beliefs. So in a sense, you could say that, I don't know that I would say that Scrooge was mentally healthy, but perhaps the breaking point for him was when he did lose Jacob Marley, who might have been sort of his last real connection to what it felt like to have a good working relationship.
Yeah, and probably a model too of what he should be doing with his life and what is the correct path to take. Now, Lyndon first began to piece together this idea of post-traumatic embitterment disorder when he observed it in disillusioned and embittered patients after German reunification. And it's worth noting that we're talking about a mixture of depression, helplessness, hopelessness, all sort of swirled up into one. It's easy to just think of bitterness as to just dismiss it as just kind of an easy negative character trait. Like, oh, something crappy happened to this person. They're just bitter. Mm-hmm. Like it's a choice that you make, you know, to be bitter instead of be happy about something. But in one of the articles we were looking at, psychologist Stephen A. Diamond, I thought he had a really nice, like just robust explanation of bitterness itself, not even mm-hmm. getting into post-traumatic embitterment disorder. But he said that it is a kind of morbid characterological hostility towards someone, something, or towards life itself, resulting from the constant repression of anger, rage, or resentment regarding how one really has or perceives to have been treated, a prolonged resentful feeling of disempowered and devalued victimization.
Yeah, victimization is mm-hmm. key here because there's a lot of blame on other people or circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. So Scrooge is in this situation where, yeah, he's looking at all these institutions around him. He's looking at the culture around him. And to him, he's not the nasty guy that's just not going with the flow. He has been pushed into this corner by the circumstances in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is, you know, looking up at it as if, you know, from a pit.
Now, the core criteria of PTSD are, one, a single exceptional negative life event which precipitates the onset of the illness.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, perhaps Jacob Marley. Two, the present negative state developed in the direct context of the event. Three, the emotional response is embitterment and feelings of injustice. And four, repeated intrusive memories of the event. So, again, obsessing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Five, emotional modulation is unimpaired. Patients can even smile when engaged in thoughts of revenge. And six, no obvious other mental disorder that can explain the reaction. So that's where it gets a little bit murky because Lyndon found that PTED patients also suffered from a suite of other emotional complaints. Some of them just had general adjustment disorders. Some of them had general depression or something called dysthymia. And then there were anxiety disorders as well. So it's kind of a poo-poo platter here.
Yeah, and therefore it's also easy to misdiagnose it then.
Yeah.
To say, oh, well, this person is just suffering from a generalized anxiety disorder and you're not necessarily treating the root cause of what's going on.
But definitely some of the hallmarks here are isolation. Like mm-hmm. you become so obsessed with how you feel that you have been wronged in life that you begin to think about these details and blame people and really cut off your social connections.
And bitterness can have some severe physiological ramifications as well, it seems. And of course, that's kind of forecast by the third ghost who points out, hey, you keep down this path, it's going to kill you, right? According to Karsten Warsch, a professor in the Concordia University Department of Psychology and a member of the Center for Research in Human Development, quote, bitterness may forecast patterns of biological dysregulation, a physiological impairment that can affect metabolism, immune response, or organ function, and physical disease.
It's kind of a downer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
this is Christmas.
If you engage in cognitive behavioral therapy, it could be really helpful. That's what Lyndon had found. The problem is that a lot of people don't seek help when they're in those situations.
Yeah, especially if you have cut yourself off from almost everyone around you. Because, again, look at Scrooge. Who's reaching out to him? Like, a few people. Basically, his nephew is the main one who's saying, hey, come have some human companionship. Be a decent person. I'm here, and that's like one of the few remaining lifelines that's still being thrown to him. So yeah, you're in a situation like that. You're not getting a lot of lifelines anymore.
It's true. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to take a quick detour into the unconscious.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
All right, we're back. Yeah, let's discuss the unconsciousness of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Right, because as we know, again, he has had all these different life events stacked up one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously that's going to not just color his worldview, but that is going to color his unconscious. And we'll dip right back into that. I know we've talked about it before, but David Eagleman, in his book Incognito, The Secret Life of the Brain, he claims that the brain is running the show incognito, and that this consciousness, this I feeling, is just kind of this bit player that is on the sidelines of this vast network of circuitry. And so he says, we're not at the center of ourselves. Instead, we're like the Earth in the Milky Way and the Milky Way in the universe. And we're far out on that distant edge, hearing little of what's actually transpiring.
Yeah, philosopher and cognitive scientist Dan Dennett puts it this way. A person is approximately 100 trillion little cellular robots, an army. We emerge from that. Consciousness emerged from that. So the Scrooge that we encounter is due to, you know, a lot of storms raging underneath the surface. And we're, he himself is only encountering surface level Scrooge.
So what's interesting about this is that along comes this tour through his past, present, and future, which you could say would be, might be a dream, or it might actually be ghosts that are visiting him. In any case, there has been this idea put out there that it is a kind of psychotherapy of the unconscious that is uncovering all of these things for Scrooge.
Okay, so these are manifestations. These are like Jungian figures that are emerging from his subconscious, and he's forced to actually confront them.
Yeah, especially if you consider that every Christmas Eve for the past 7 years, he's had this crisis. And for those 7 years, perhaps, all these things have been going under the cover of his consciousness, and they now show up in this kind of form.
So the idea here is that these spirits, ghosts, aliens, Jungian manifestations, whatever you want to call them, that they are providing a form of psychotherapy.
Yeah, the American Psychological Association says there's several approaches to psychotherapy, including cognitive behavioral, which we already mentioned, interpersonal and other kinds of talk therapy. And that helps people sort of work through their problems. It's grounded in dialogue, a lot of talking again. It provides a supportive environment that allows you to talk openly with someone who's objective, neutral, and non-judgmental. And I don't know that you would say all the spirits are non-judgmental, but I remember them being a bit dispassionate and being sort of like, here's this, here's that.
Yeah, I mean, especially the last one is rather dispassionate. But yeah, it's easy to think back on those three spirits and just focus on the fact that they are showing him things and showing him these visions of things that have been and things to come and things that are. But there is a lot of talking. There's a, especially with the first two spirits. So the last one doesn't really say much. But with the first two especially, there's a dialogue going on between Scrooge and the ghost. And you could easily say that that is a kind of psychotherapy. They're saying, look at these events. Look at what happened here. How do you feel about that?
Now, this is interesting. Psychiatrist Stephen E. Wars has presented on this particular topic a number of times, and he goes so far as to suggest that Jacob Marley is Scrooge's primary physician, referring Scrooge to his psychological spirit guides.
Yeah,
he does have that interaction with him where he's like, Scrooge,
this is
terrible. You don't want this.
Yeah, he's saying, I screwed up. My path ended up being the wrong one. I can't really help you, but here are three specialists that can.
Yeah, and you had mentioned Stephen Diamond. He says that in Jungian terms, we could say that his unconscious self, Scrooge's unconscious self, starts speaking to him on that cold and lonely Christmas Eve via his dreams. Dreams, as Freud found, are the via regia, or regal road to the unconscious, and can be understood as forms of communication from the unconscious.
Yeah, I think that's a solid interpretation. I like that.
Yeah. So you could make the case, yes, that these spirit guides were taking him through an accelerated pace of psychotherapy in order for him to arrive at an epiphany. And as we all know, epiphanies are, they're kind of weird things. They seem, again, like those sort of aha moments when in fact they have been bubbling under the surface.
On that note, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk epiphanies and we're going to hit rock bottom.
Oh dear.
Yes.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
All right, we're back. Epiphanies. Epiphanies are the stuff of great stories. Well, at least they're the stuff of stories. You're constantly encountering characters who have that just extreme aha moment, right? Mm-hmm. And you do see that in Scrooge, right? He wakes up from all of this and he realizes, I had it all wrong. I'm changing my life. And you see this in other Christmas stories too. You see this in It's a Wonderful Life too, right? He has that epiphany
right.
Where he realizes, hey, life is worth living. It's worth climbing out of the pit for. I am going to survive this horrible season.
But the pit, that's the important part.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rock bottom that you usually have to hit in order for you to be able to get a handle on what it is you need to confront.
Indeed. You know who's another fictional character, semi-fictional character who hit rock bottom before everything got rolling?
Kermit?
Dante, you know, he reaches this dark point. That's why he has to go through hell and then purgatory and finally heaven.
All right. So you see there's a rich literary tradition here. John Skalski and Brigham Young University psychology professor Sam Hardy conducted an in-depth study of 14 people who experienced profound, sudden, and lasting change. I will take issue with sudden, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says that the parallels they found with the participants in Scrooge is that they all had hit rock bottom in their lives, and they all had a trusted friend, like Marley, who opened up their perspective on their perceived life tragedies, allowing them to recast and recover from them.
Now, I want to throw in here that rock bottom doesn't necessarily mean I was in a gutter or I was at the bottom of a grave. It can just mean like you've reached like maximum stress level, maximum emotional, psychological angst over a particular thing.
Yeah, again, these are huge life events. A lot of them had to do with money too, right? Like people were pretty tied to their associations with money and their status with money. And
that's
then
the kind of world we've built for ourselves.
Indeed. And when they were, when that was taken away from them or they lost that fortune, then they had to confront what it meant to be that person that they were inhabiting. So, that's what's interesting about this. You can find more information out about it in The Humanistic Psychologist. That's the 2012 January issue. But we brought it up because we thought, well, Scrooge, he's definitely hit rock bottom.
Indeed. Now, in that study, there's also something I like to think of as the Marley factor. They said that most study participants described the presence of a living, trusted other person during their experience. So, again, they can sort of give that value to Marley.
Yeah, and again, that's that person who can provide that perspective shift. Because we all need that, right? When you're down in the dumps, you've hit rock bottom, you need someone to say, it's okay. Like you're breathing right now.
Yeah.
There's food available to you, hopefully. Someone to say, you can go on.
Yeah. And it's, you could say Marley's the sponsor, I guess, you know?
He could be. He is kind of.
Though he hasn't really kicked his condition since he is presumably a denizen of hell.
Right. He doesn't have a motivation to anymore. He's just shackled, right?
Yeah.
He's shackled to his ledger book, right? Something like along to, some sort of symbol
symbols of his preoccupation with money and bookkeeping, the chains he forged in life. And I do want to mention another reason that I love that Scrooge musical, the film adaptation with Albert Finney, is that Scrooge actually goes to hell in it. There's an actual hell with, like, big, beefy demons walking around.
Big, beefy demons.
Yeah, it's, like, it's big, like, muscular, red-painted demons marching around, and there's a scene with ghosts flying through the air.
Okay, so why didn't NBC air that instead of Peter Pan Live? As much as I like seeing Christopher Walken, like, sort of oddly drunk dancing as a pirate.
I don't know. Maybe that could be the next one, because the whole thing is, like, they're doing live productions of musicals or plays, right? They could do Scrooge. It's a musical, and it's got some wonderful numbers in it. So do that next year. Maybe I'll watch it.
They could, and they should.
Yep.
Now, there is something, a little something called altruism that Scrooge was able to finally tap into when he had his epiphany.
Oh, to tap into is putting it lightly, because he doesn't just turn on the tap. He, like, hacks into the keg with an axe. He just goes crazy. Giving out stuff, right? I mean, that's always the big scene where it's toys for everyone. It's giant turkeys for everyone. It's just because it's built up, right? He has all of this do-goodery. He could have been doing all this altruism that he could have been engaging with, and he hasn't for years and years. I mean, for much of his life.
And we've talked about this before. We've talked about altruism and happiness and this idea that your brain's reward system is actually going to light up when you engage in acts of altruism. Psychologists Elizabeth Dunn and Laura Acknon, along with Michael Norton of Harvard Business School, conducted a 2008 study in which participants were given either $5 or $20 to spend by the end of the day. Half were instructed to buy for themselves, the other for someone else. And that evening, people who had been assigned to spend money on someone else reported happier moods over the course of the day than did those people assigned to spend money on themselves, which I think makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, at the very base of it, like not even getting into the act of it, you are thinking about someone else. It's taking you out of your own, default mode network and your thoughts of self and putting you into thoughts of another. And ultimately, that's one of, in my opinion, one of the benefits. The pros that comes with the holiday season is an emphasis on, at least to some extent, thinking about other people.
Right. And you, in a way, you're empowered because you feel like you're making an impact or a positive impact on someone else.
Yeah.
If you're able to give them something that they need.
Yeah. After the experience is done, you have the memory of the experience and the feeling that you did something, and also kind of the open-ended question. You almost end up sort of fantasizing about how they feel about what you did, just to bring it all back to kind of a selfish gene area. But as opposed to just buying something and then there you are with the thing you bought, and how does that feel?
Feeling like an empty husk.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, there is an alternate take on how Scrooge achieved this epiphany.
Yes. Yeah. This is one that I've blogged about before, and it all comes back to the saucepan. Because after he wakes up, he's had the epiphany. This is directly from Dickens' A Christmas Carol. He says, "There's the saucepan that the gruel was in," cried Scrooge, starting off again and frisking around the fireplace. "There's the door by which the ghost of Jacob Marley entered. There's the corner where the ghost of Christmas Present sat. There's the window where I saw wandering spirits. It's all right. It's all true. It all happened. Ha, ha, ha."
That's right. That's Scrooge, who is just having his epiphany and seems to be in a bit of an altered state.
Yeah. And so I have to ask, what was in the saucepan? Why indeed does, when Marley appears, he initially tries to dismiss it by saying, "Oh, you're just something I ate. Some bit of, bad potato or whatever." But perhaps it was something different than bad potato. Perhaps it was, a psychedelic substance, a hallucinogenic substance that gave him this experience. And if we refer back to some of our podcasts that we've done on, the Scientist and the Shaman series, we did an episode about psychedelics being administered to prepare one for death, and the various research that has gone into the potential non-recreational uses for these substances. And you see a couple of prime candidates as to what might have been in that gruel.
Something that would have blown open the doors of perception.
Right.
Right. And then something that might have made him feel as though he were one with fellow man.
Yeah. Yeah. And gave him a lasting or, change in personality. So one possibility here is that there was DMT in the gruel. DMT, of course, is a naturally occurring psychedelic compound that's found in plants such as ayahuasca vines in South America. And as with all natural psychedelics, the stuff has factored into shamanistic rituals for thousands of years. Under a shaman's guidance, individuals partook of these perception-altering elements and endured intense and sometimes harrowing mental journeys through time and space. They encountered unreal entities, shades of departed loved ones, and they saw the world around them as if for the first time and perceived deep truths about themselves and the cosmos. And finally, as the effects of DMT would wear off, or the ayahuasca, what have you, they emerge from their mental journey transformed. Now, what does that sound like?
That sounds like Scrooge after eating a little gruel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, as we discussed in that podcast episode, the pair of podcast episodes, Scientists and the Shaman, researchers at Johns Hopkins Medical Center and other, esteemed medical research labs continue to study the effects of DMT and other psychedelics. Not only to better understand how our minds work, but also to learn how these substances can help us treat mental illnesses, deal with addictions, and maybe even find a bit of enlightenment.
So I guess the ghost of future would be a bit of the bad trip part.
Yes, you could say that. But I mean, that's, it's kind of, a bad trip, I guess, is kind of relative because, everything we've read about, the intense experiences of, DMT or ayahuasca, you know, you're often dealing with really harrowing, encounters. I mean, stuff that's going to change you, stuff that should not be taken lightly at, say, a fish show.
Indeed, no.
And the other possibility is that it could have been psilocybin, magic mushrooms, right? A 2011 study at Johns Hopkins University gave high doses of psilocybin to 51 test subjects. And 30 of these individuals experienced measurable personality changes that lasted more than a year. And what changes? Well, according to researcher Dr. Catherine McLean, in an episode of the Secular Buddhist podcast, which I highly recommend everyone check that out, openness was affected out of all measurable personality traits. And again, that's ultimately where we find Scrooge. Suddenly he is open to the world. He blasts open those windows and talks to a random child. He's blasting open his own windows to let the world back in.
Which allows him to finally listen to what Jacob Marley has to say. And I thought maybe we could walk ourselves out of this episode with this quote from Marley after Scrooge says, "What are you doing? Why are you walking around like a ghost?" He says, "You are always a good man of business, Jacob." And the ghost of Marley, his legs bound by a chain of ledger books and cash boxes, replies, "Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business." Hear, hear.
So there you have it, A Christmas Carol, Scrooge. That's our take on the man and his condition, drawing in some science here and there. But of course, we'd love to hear from everyone else out there. What's your take on Scrooge and his predicament? And how do you tie it into your own experience of the holidays?
Indeed. And if you guys would like some more from us, you can visit stufftoblowyourmind.com.
That's right. You'll find all the podcast episodes, all the blog posts, all the videos, links out to our social media accounts, stufftoblowyourmind.com.
In the meantime, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. And you can do that by sending your little ditty to blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your your perfect home sweet home.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.